O namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Text 47.
Sa ita bhagavan urvim.
Sa ita bhagavan urvim.
Vishvaksena prajapatihi.
Vishvaksena prajapatihi.
Vrsaya lilayonitam.
Vrsaya lilayonitam.
Apsunyasya yayau hadihi.
Apsunyasya yayau hadihi.
Saitam Bhagavan Urvim.
Saitam Bhagavan Urvim.
Vishvaksenak Prajapatihi.
Vishvaksenak Prajapatihi.
Vasaya Lilayonitam.
Vasaya Lilayonitam.
Apsunyasya Yayau Harihi.
Apsunyasya Yayau Harihi.
Yayau Harihi.
In this manner,
Bhagavan,
the personality of Godhead,
Urvim,
the earth.
Vishvaksenaha.
Vishvaksenaha.
Another name of Vishnu.
Another name of Vishnu.
Prajapatihi.
Prajapatihi.
The Lord of the living entities.
The Lord of the living entities.
Vrsayaha.
Vrsayaha.
From within the water.
From within the water.
Lilaya.
Lilaya.
Very easily.
Very easily.
Unitam. Raised.
Raised.
Apsu.
Apsu.
On the water.
On the water.
Niyasya.
Niyasya.
Placing.
Placing.
Yayao.
Yayao.
Returned to his own abode.
Returned to his own abode.
Harihi.
Harihi.
The personality of Godhead.
Personality of Godhead.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In this manner, the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the maintainer of all living entities, raised the earth from within the water, and having placed it afloat on the water, he returned to his own abode. Purport. The personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, descends by his will to the material planets in his innumerable incarnations for particular purposes. And again he goes back to his own abode. When he descends, he is called an avatara, because avatara means one who descends. Neither the Lord himself nor his specific devotees who come to this earth are ordinary living entities like us. So when we say that the Lord's avatar has purposes, this is understood and has to be understood in a special way. Leela means play. A child, when he plays, doesn't have the kind of purpose that an adult does. In a sense, his activity is purposeless. It doesn't serve any serious adult purpose. But there's a purpose, you know. The child wants to play a certain game. That's his purpose. He has some intention, but it's not a serious intention. Simply, the Lord has his purposes, but they're never material purposes. Of course, the Lord has his purposes. He wants to reciprocate with his devotees. He wants to take care of everybody, not just his devotees. And his coming into this world serves those purposes. He does what he wants to do, but he wants not just to enjoy by himself, he wants reciprocation. And that reciprocation involves taking care of those whom he reciprocates with, his playmates in his play. He has to maintain them. He has to cultivate the devotees in the proper way so that their consciousness develops properly. And the conditioned souls, the rebellious souls, need special care. The government has to take more care of the convicted criminals who are in the prison system. They have to take special care of them. Special institutions have to be established, and they have to be staffed and managed. It's a great trouble. So the Lord's maintaining the material creation and maintaining the rebellious convicted inmates of the material world is a lot of work. This is one of his purposes. The first Leela we read about in the Bhagavatam is the Srishti Leela, the pastime of creating. It is also considered the Lord's pastime, although it involves material creation. For the Lord, it's not material work. For us, any involvement we have with the material world becomes troublesome, is what we call work, as distinct from play. Because the natural qualities of leela, of play, are not found in the activities that we are engaged in the material world, therefore we have to make a distinction. If everything was just playing, as it is in the spiritual world for everybody, including the finite subordinate beings, everything is play. It's called the Lord's Leela, but everybody's participating in the Leela. So everything is simply enjoyable. It's like child's play in our original spiritual condition. But when we come to the material world, then a distinction has to be made. Whatever we do in connection, in contact with the material energy, becomes hard work, becomes a struggle. For us, therefore, there's a difference between work and play. But for the personality of Godhead, there's never a difference. You know? Even when he creates the material universe, which for anybody else would be the hardest job, for him it's something he can do in his sleep without even waking up to bother to pay much attention to it. It's one of the easiest of his pastimes. Yeah, create material world, nothing. Simple. When, similarly, to the distinction that has to be made between play and work because of the material conditioning. Similarly, when human society is God conscious, then there doesn't have to be a distinction between science and religion. Science, philosophy, religion don't have to be put into different departments. It's all the same. Any philosophy should be a philosophy of the Supreme, should focus on the Supreme. Science should focus on understanding the Supreme in relationship with his material. Even if we're studying the material energy, we should understand it in the proper context. We don't want to study just the superficial phenomena. Science means to investigate what is going on. What is the actual structure, the actual reality, the deep structure of reality. You know, not just to be able to describe the external phenomena. You know, a child can draw pictures of the clouds in the sky. You know, many different shapes. He can have notebooks full of different pictures of the clouds. But it takes an expert scientist to explain the different categories of clouds and the unified theory of cloud formation, why there are different kinds of clouds, and what's common among all the clouds, and what's different between the different kinds of clouds. That's science. Going beneath the surface to see what is the deep structure and what actually makes things, why things are the way they are. So any real science, for those who are God conscious, science should go deep enough to identify the connection with the Supreme, because He is the cause of all causes. You want to trace things back to their causes, then you should actually trace them back to the ultimate cause. So science also should be rooted in God consciousness. In a God conscious civilization, there shouldn't be a need to separate, to distinguish the difference between religion, philosophy, and science. But because we have material conditioning, we have a limited concept of what science is. Now, science is only what has nothing to do with God. So-called hard facts, empiric facts. And God is unempirical. He's unverifiable, and therefore he cannot, any knowledge that has anything to do with God, any mention of God, cannot be scientific. Then it's relegated to the realm of religion. Unscientific. Religion is what you do on Sunday. The rest of the week you have to do science. You're paid to do science. So in the same way, the difference between work and play is there because of our material conditioning. Because our work is a perverted form of work. We don't have to work. We can play. We just have to recover our Krishna consciousness, and then we will be excused from work, and we'll be allowed to go back to play. Tavat karmani kurvita. You only have to work for so long. Just like they let somebody retire when he reaches a certain age. You know, they don't make anybody work until he's 85 years old. At least unless he's a slave. But a free man is allowed to retire and gets a pension. I don't know what the age is. My mother retired now at the age of 73. They just wouldn't let her work any longer. Tavat karmani kurvita. Well, you can retire when you reach this point. Nanivirdieta yavata, when you become totally disinterested in this material illusion. When you're not interested, when you, as long as you're fascinated with work and the benefits you can get from material work, as long as you're still fascinated by that, then you have to keep on working. When you're disillusioned, and when you see through the illusion of having to work so hard just to get your material needs fulfilled, when you see that it's not necessary, then you can stop. Or there's one more condition. Yavad mat shravana dauva, yavad shradhana jayate. Thing is, okay, all you have to do is see through the illusion, become disillusioned, disinterested in material work. But how can you do that? So Krishna further explains, actually, what you have to do is become attracted to hearing and chanting about me and remembering me. Matkata shravana dauva. Matkata shravana is the first activity of pure devotional service. And then there are other activities of pure devotional service. 9 standard activities. But also, once one is situated in Krishna consciousness, anything he does, even apparently material activities, also can be Krishna's service. Certainly, we engage in so many apparently material activities for preaching, for spreading Krishna's glories. They're also devotional service. Some say that only chanting is devotional service and there's no other sadhana. We can accept so many sadhanas in connection with Nam Sankirtana. So when one becomes, one develops faith, confidence that this is my real business, the Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, this is the real business of my life. When you're convinced of that, then you will lose interest in material work and you can retire. That's the program of devotion, of our pure devotional service. It's really retirement program. not to perpetuate our material. We may have to continue working for some time. We have some obligations, and we cannot immediately give them up. But the long-range program is retire, give up everything, all material engagements, and simply work full-time for Krishna. Okay, so I'll stop there. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Okay. Thank you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Hare Krishna.